First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. It's going to be our key verse this morning. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to go to the New Living Translation this morning. I'm going to read from verse 22 all the way down to verse 27. But we're going to camp out in 1 Corinthians 9, amen, and 24. But what we want to read this, amen, a little bit further. New Living Translations, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 22, says, when I am with those who are weak, I share, amen, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Verse 24, New Living Translation says, don't you realize that a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Oh, that's good stuff right there. Verse 26 says, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Ooh-wee. I want to talk today, if y'all just give me a few minutes, run to win. Look at your neighbor and say, ask him, are you running to win? And then look back, tell him, run to win. Run to win. Woo. This is a good one right here, y'all. My brothers and sisters, we know that this book of 1 Corinthians was written by none other than Paul. Y'all remember Paul in the Bible? Paul that was always in jail, always in trouble, but always trying to help God's people. Y'all remember that Paul that was shipwrecked 3 times? Y'all know Paul that established so many churches. Paul who was there at the stoning of Stephen that approved of it, that persecuted the church, but later on was persecuted by the church. That's the Paul I'm talking about. The Paul that was a nothing, a nobody. He was a wretch, but Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, that was knocked down off of his horse, his donkey, whatever it was. And God began to speak to him. He was blind for 3 days. I'm talking about that Paul that wrote 14 books in the Bible. Paul. The one who taught and preached A-plus Christianity, which is one thing that I talk about all the time here at the OC. Amen. We want to be the best we can be and do the best we can do. Man, I tell y'all all the time, the worst news I ever got, the worst thing that ever happened to me is I realized that you could graduate with a C. You could graduate with a D in college. Then you stop working hard. Some of us have stopped working hard. I'm going to leave that alone. But we got to work. We got to work this thing. We got to work out this faith. God has given us a great gift, which is eternal life. He's given us grace and mercy. But guys, we have a responsibility. Man, to be the best that we can do and do the best that we can. Amen? Run to win. Any of y'all run to lose? Anybody run track in here? Did you ever go out, step out on the track field, and say, oh, finna lose? Did you? Was that your mindset? Well, sometimes you got there, you look at the competition like, man, this is, woo. I know I made it to regional 1 year, and you know, our little district, some teams we don't see. You know, in our little district, you know, I was the fastest guy. Man, I got down at a regional. I started looking at those guys. My goodness. And I gave up hope right there on the starting line. But you know what? I'm going to jump into this. But you know what? The way you start is the way you finish, my brothers and sisters. You got to start right with the right mindset. It starts with a mindset. You know what, Deacon Smith? I was so intimidated, I didn't even stretch. I already know what's going to happen. And guess what? And because of my mindset, because I didn't prepare myself, I came in dead last in my heat. But around there where I was from, I was the king around there. Man, I was young Carl Lewis. I could beat everybody in my area. Oh, but it's the more folks out there working, my brothers and sisters. It's some other folks that are preparing. I want, you know what? And I embarrassed, my daddy drove all the way to Kilgore, Texas to watch his son come in last. And you know what's sad about it? I went in the 100, the 200, and the relay. Guess what happened in the 200? I came in second to last. So somebody else that was out there just as intimidated as I was. But my brother says, we want to run this race to win, right? Tony, don't you want to run this race to win? Come on, let's give you, those of us who need background, let me give you some background. Y'all ready? We ready? All right. Paul is committed to this course of ministry, but it didn't come easy. Ministry doesn't come easy. Y'all think it's easy to get up here and grab this microphone? You think it's easy to get Bible studies ready and Sunday schools? It's not easy. This was a very difficult task for Paul. It required personal discipline and strict training. See, in our lives, to be what God has called us to be, it takes some discipline. We talked this morning in Sunday school about Paul dealt with them as athletes here. And you know what? An athlete has a certain diet that he has to maintain when he wants to be the top athlete. The reason why, you know, those of us that have gone to college to play sports or whatever, you know, is anybody here have a kid that ever gone out to play college sports? Nobody? Okay. Well, you got any relatives that went out to play college sports and they were gone like that first semester and they come home for Christmas and they look so good? Like, wow, what are they doing to you? But it's because it's all about discipline. Because what they're doing is when you go to a Division I college, see the all of the athletes live in the same dorm. And guess what? The football team, they have their own menu. And they have to stick to their diet. That's why those guys leave here all fat and sloppy and they just come back all cut up. Brother Eli, come back looking good. Because they stick, amen, to their diet. And they're also disciplined. Guess what? There's curfews. Amen? And guess what? As a Christian, I might as well jump on in it feet first. The problem with most of us and the reason why we're losing because we won't discipline ourselves. We won't do what we need to do to get where we're trying to get. I'm waiting on my ship to come in. You ain't even down at the bay. You're not even at the ocean, but you're waiting on your ship to come in. Line yourself up. Amen? One day I'm going to be somebody. Do you 60 years old, man? It's past. Too late. You should have prepared yourself. I'm going to be somebody. Really? How many DWIs you got, man? Oops. Sorry. You ain't even got no driver's license. You know, but if we discipline ourselves, my brothers and sisters, God ain't going to bless your mess. Man, I didn't mean to jump out on this today like this, but I want us to run to win. Some of us too heavy. We got too much baggage. You ever seen anybody run track with a whole bunch, with their warm up on? You from Clarksville, I'm sure. No, I'm just joking. I hope nobody from Clarksville hears this on the webpage. Did they win? See, them, they got bionic people in Clarksville. It's just crazy. But what you try to do is you try to lighten up, right? You know, you put on your, anybody ever, you don't run in boots, do you? No, but you lighten up. And some of us are trying to live for Christ, loaded down, weighted down. We're not going to win. Tammy, you're not going to win carrying all that stuff. He says, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But sometimes, you know what we do? We come to church. Some of y'all are going to come here this morning, let me preach for 30 minutes. And you're going to leave here just like you came. You're going to take the same issues back home that you showed up here with. Amen? And guess what? It ain't nobody's fault but yours. Because I'm going to try to help you learn how to run to win. Amen? Amen. So we see that Paul, he knew that he had to give up certain privileges, which might be some things that he enjoyed. Y'all know what? We got to give up some stuff we like in order to win this race. Can I keep it real? No, I can't keep it that real, y'all. Everybody will leave. Some things I had to give up. Sister Roberta, you don't want me to keep it real this morning. That's too tough. But some things I had to give up, my brothers and sisters, in order to be able to stand up here in front of you. Y'all know what? I can't just stand up here any kind of way. Man, I'm too scared of God. It just pop, strike me down right here in front of y'all. You remember in the Holies of Holies, y'all know what they used to do? To those who went in behind the curtain, went into the Holies of Holies, y'all know what they would do? They tie a rope to them. Because if you went up in the Holies of Holies, amen, to give God some praise and get in to pray and burn and do a burnt offering, whatever it is you went in for, guess what? If you wasn't right, boom. As soon as they hear that thud, guess what they do? Drag you out, and guess what? They be graveyard, be calling Maxie. Be calling Ray, come pick you up. What if that held true today? How many ropes? It wouldn't be enough folks to pull us out of here, would it? Notice I said us. I didn't say y'all. I said us. Because that thought that just ran through your head. Boom. There you go. Out of here. Drag it, man. Ooh. But what Paul realized here, when he said, know ye not that they which run in a race shall run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. See, what Paul was looking for, it was not a temporary prize, because he knew that the people in the Corinthian church knew all about, amen, athletics and games, because there were they had the biennial games right outside the city of Corinth. And every time, it's kind of like the Olympic, they were very familiar with the Olympic games in Greece. So what would happen is when you win, have y'all seen the Olympics in, y'all right, Candy? Okay, you looking at me. All right, I thought I messed up. Like, I'm too excited. Let me calm down. But the Olympic Games, the winners would receive a pine crown to go on their head. Y'all remember that? Y'all see the guys when they do the Olympics with the little leaves around their head? That's a temporary crown. But he was speaking to them from an athletic point of view, because that's what they understood. Sometimes that's why I have to talk about Lil Wayne. Sometimes I had to talk about Facebook. Sometimes I have to talk about Bobby Blue Bland. Sometimes I had to talk about B.B. King, because that's what some of y'all do. Sometimes I had to talk about drinking and gambling and lying and stealing, because that's where we are. Sometimes I have to talk about sneaking and creeping and smoking weed, because some of y'all doing that. Amen? So he said they know about athletics, they know about running, they know about the race. So guess what? I'm gonna kick it to them that way so they understand it. Does that make sense? So he knew that they knew about athletics. So that's kind of how he came at them. Now what we have to understand about the Olympics in that day and time is, check this out. This is crazy, y'all, but what they would do is, if any athlete was caught breaking their training ritual or whatever, there was a certain thing. You had to eat certain things. You had to train a certain amount of time. But anybody that was caught breaking those rules was disqualified for breaking the training rules. And then, check this out, Tony. When the winner was announced, they would announce the winners, and they would also announce those that were disqualified. Those were the only names they called, the winners and the ones that were disqualified. Does that sound like when we're standing before God's judgment? And he said, come on, up a little higher. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up a little higher. And then it's those that are not. Your name is not in the book. You in that other book. Go that other way. Think about it. How many of us want to be disqualified? I don't want to be disqualified. But you know what? In order to be the Christian that God has called us to be, what we have to do, we have to give up the good. We have to give up the good and the better for the best. Somebody write that down. You got to give up the good and the better for the best. Who is the best? We've been talking about him all day long. Jesus. All right, I got 20 minutes. We're going to close this thing out. Number one, those of you who write things down, we talked about you start like you finish. Amen? Does that make sense? So the outset, we want to talk about the outset for a minute. So that means how we start out, the outset. Y'all ready? Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness." So many lose the Christian race before they even started. They depend on a change of mind rather than a change of heart. You know that? A lot of people depend on a change of mind other than a change of heart. Our minds take us all different places at all times. But you know what? What's in the heart of man will come out. Amen? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. But they're based their profession to God on their feelings instead of God's promises. See, some of us come to church just when we feel like coming to church. We base it on feelings. Some of us clap our hands when we feel like clapping our hands. Some of us are excited today because we got our little income tax. Some of us hood rich this morning. So we can go to church, but when you get broke, I don't know what I'm going to do. Times are hard. This recession, I thought Obama was going to do better. Now you're blaming it on Obama. Amen? But it's about the outset, my brother. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things should be added unto you. So the outset has to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? Is that your mindset as a Christian? Is that how you started? Say, I love God. Or did you come up because your girlfriend said, if you don't go to church, I'm going to break up with you. Your wife said, if you don't go up there, I'm through. I'm done. What was your reason? Seek ye first the kingdom. Or did you look around and say, man, them preachers, man, them dudes be wearing them suits and driving Cadillacs. They must have money. So I'm just, man, I've been called to preach, preacher. Woo. You don't want this, I'm telling you. But we win when we begin right, my brothers. Don't we win when we start out right. Just like you on that organ, you're a bad dude. Most white boys can't play like that. But you know what? But what you did, Tony, was you know music theory, don't you? See, I don't mean to put you out there like that. You studied music, didn't you, Tony? You've been playing since you were a little boy. You can read music. It's not about what somebody told you. It's what you know. That's why he can pick up anything and everything. Amen. Because he started out right. Amen. Nothing's too hard for him because he started out right. He started out in the music book. Woo! The problem with the Christian is we start on what Big Mama said and what Grandmama said, and we don't get in the book ourselves. We got to start out in the book. Amen. I tell y'all some good stuff on Sundays and Wednesdays, but you know what? You got to get in the book for yourself and learn it. That's life's instruction manual. There may be something going on in your life that I'm not touching this morning. Amen. Somebody may have lost a loved one. I'm talking about winning a race. You got to know some of this word for yourself. I'm trying to finish, y'all. But faith is based on God's word, and it brings forgiveness and cleansing when we know the word of God. That's why it's got to be based on the book. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, those sins that go, those sins that we don't confess, my brother and sister, God can't do nothing with them because you holding them. That's why we have to come here and give it up to God. This is the dump ground. Say, thank God I came to the dump ground this morning because some of y'all got some stuff you need to leave right here. Amen. Woo, this church full of mess this morning. All y'all's mess, good Lord. Eli, get your mess. Man, that's your mess. You just going to leave that here? All right, that's good. All right, then leave it here, Eli. Don't take it back home. Don't take it back across that river. So the outset. So that's how we start, right? But then we have to have a good outlook. Those who write it down. So the outset and the outlook. Oh, this is good stuff. Look at the outlook. Look at what Paul said in Philippians 4:4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. The outlook has to be a positive outlook. Ooh-wee. How many of you have a positive outlook on life? You better. Because there's a lot of negativity going on. Don't you hate to be around negative folks? Pessimism brings defeat. You know what? I was a team captain when I went down at a regional and got blew away. So guess what? When my team saw me come in last and then second to last, when it's time for the relay, they gave up. Because to whom much is given, much is required. So they were like, dude, we don't have a chance. You know why? Because I wasn't prepared. My outset was no good and my outlook was horrible. Woo! Did y'all feel that? Or was that just me? It was on me, Tony. Tony, when we go to sing places, when you looking like you ain't really feeling it, man, they mess up everybody. Man, you hit the wrong key over there, be like, oh, Tony tripping over there, he making us look bad. Them sopranos start out in the wrong key. Soprano, what they doing? Amen. But pessimism brings defeat. Many Christians fail because of their negative outlook. They also discourage others. Well, you know what's a sad testimony for the church is? When you see people see you, you kicking rocks. With your Orange Chapel shirt on. And somebody say, what's wrong with you? Huh? Man, I'm just going through, man. Just, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, oh man, my girl tripping, my baby mama tripping, her baby daddy, he a gangster, got all his homeboys after me, man. I can't even go nowhere. These dudes rolling up on me. But you that dude that's down there when they saying lift it up, lift him up, lift him up, you. But as soon as you walk out the door, dude, you got a vest on. You got a protection on. Jesus got you covered. You ain't got to worry about all that stuff. Amen? Y'all better roll with me this morning. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Come on now. We must be optimistic, my brothers and sisters, looking for the good, not the bad. You know why I can get along with all y'all in here? Because I say this all the time, because I focus on what we have in common. Not our differences. Some of y'all like Chevrolets. Some of y'all like Fords. No need to discuss cars because you're not going to agree on it. Amen? Stand up, Candy. That's my wife. Sit down, Candy. Don't stand up too long. I don't want to mess these brothers up in here. Some folks don't go for that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So guess what? Ain't no need us talking about that. Amen? Anything else I can bring up? Y'all see where I'm going with this? Some of y'all like the Lakers. Some of y'all like Chicago Bulls. No need of y'all falling out in the church over basketball. But you know what that happens? Because a lot of times I want to make Amber think like I think. But you know what, Amber? The only thing that's important is if you believe in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and he rose again with all power in his hand. You know, if we agree on that, we can do business. We can do business in the church all day long. Hallelujah. But we win when we reach for the highest and expect the best. See, you know what? The church's expectations are too low. The Christian's expectations are too low. I'm doing my best to make it in. I'm coming up. How you coming up on the rough side and you're a child of God? On the rough side. And that's a good song. And I know I must hold to God his powerful hand. wait a minute. But I'm doing my best to make it in. But if I got his hand, I'm already in. You ain't got to do nothing. Woo, just hold on. A change is coming. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Somebody should have got up, took off running just then. Where the babies at? They're running, church. They love to do it. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. See, you know, the church dealing too much negativity. Y'all know we had a little drama. Y'all remember the little drama we had down here at the OC? Whoops. We had a little drama. Little bit. Y'all heard about it. Some of y'all heard about it. Some of y'all didn't. I'm glad you didn't. But guess what? We got past it. You know why we got past it? Because we didn't keep on talking about it. See, what happened with mess is, mess got a dog in the back. You know, sometimes dog mess and it's nasty, it's sticky, it get on everything. So you know what we do? We let it sit out there and crust over a little while, and then when you pick it up, move. Pick it up, put it in the back, and throw it away. Bring it to the altar, leave it here. Guess what? The mess is gone. Look at what the church should do. We're talking about the outlook. This is the outlook the OC should have. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and I'm going to paraphrase this, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, y'all ain't, that's what we ought to be thinking about, them good things, them positive things. Amen? We ought to be excited because leader's son, Jamal, amen, made all state this year. That's a good report. Ain't God good? The fact that Orange Chapel, a lot of Sundays we barely have room to get that. That's a good report. That's things we ought to be talking about. Amen. That we showed love to Sister Brown when she was in the hospital. That when Sister Roberta was out, we checked on her and we went to see her. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Those are the things we should concentrate on. But y'all, we stay in we y'all know what, as a people, sometimes we just negative. Woo! So the outset, the start, then the outlook. Let's look at one more thing, the outreach. See, Paul, because of what Paul had been through, he was able to reach out to others and help them along the way. Because of what you've been through and where you've been in your life, guess what? You can help somebody. Amen. We come together to lift each other up, to help each other, amen, to give our testimony about what God has done in our lives. Christian people are the most selfish people I know, because you don't tell anybody where God brought you from. I used to be on drugs, but God delivered me. I used to be a crackhead, but God delivered me. I used to be a player, hustler, pimp, prostitute, but God delivered me. But everybody sitting in house mouth don't want to help nobody else. It's like we want folks to go to hell. Woo! That ain't in the sermon. But the outreach is, Roberta. The outreach is important. Somebody turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. And I'm just going to read the first part of this. It says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. Did you know that you were an ambassador for Christ? Woo! Many fail because of self-centeredness. They seek only temporal and selfish gains. Did y'all know that? We win in the Christian life by reaching out to others and helping the less fortunate and witnessing to the lost. Philippians 2 and 16 says, in the New Living Translation says, hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Did y'all see that? Hold on firmly to the word of life. Then on that day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain. Wouldn't it be horrible to do all the things that you do for God? And then you get to the end and there's nothing there. But you know what? We're not running this race in vain, my brothers and sisters, if our outset is right, our outlook is right, and then our outreach. We got to reach out to other people. Amen? Y'all ready for me to close this thing out? All right. I'm glad. When we look at this, my brothers and sisters, you know what? Let me tell y'all a story before I close. Go ahead, Tony, because we finna take this thing on home. Take it to the house. My brothers and sisters, there was a man that was in the hospital. And he was sharing a room with another man. And there was a guy that had broken his back and he couldn't raise up. And the guy on the other side, I'm not sure what was wrong with him, but he was there in the hospital. And his bed was right beside the window. Now, the guy that couldn't raise up, amen, he laid there day after day after day, wondering what it looked like outside. He wondered I wish I could just raise up and see what's outside. One day he said, hey, man, I can't raise up. I can't move. Would you just tell me what it looks like outside? Just tell me what you see. The guy raised up and he looked out the window. He said, well, there's a park outside and the sun is shining and there's a little boy running and there's a little dog chasing right behind him. And then there's a little girl that has some balloons. And she's walking. Looks like she's with her mother. And wait a minute. There's a couple over having a picnic. Wait, he just got down on one knee. And now she's smiling and looks like he might have asked her to marry him. He said, oh man, I so wish I could be out and see, I wish I could raise up and see outside and I just feel better if I could just see what's going on the outside. Well, next day came and the man asked him again, what's going on outside today? He said, well, there's a school bus that just pulled up and the kids running all around look like they're having a good time. Wait, there's a limousine. I wonder who that is. Must be somebody famous. Oh, here's somebody doing on a horse carriage. Say, man, wow. You know, even though I can't see outside, man, the way you're describing it to me, it feels like I'm right there. Well, I don't know what happened, but over in the night, the man that was by the window, he passed away. The one that explained to this other guy how great things were outside. A few days passed and the guy with the broken back began to feel a little bit better. And then he asked the nurse, he said, listen, you know, I'm feeling a little better and I can move around a little bit. I know y'all gonna put somebody else in this room, but can you move me over by the window? So I can see outside. The guy over there, he used to explain to me how beautiful things were on the other side. He would always encourage me when he would explain to me just how much fun people were having on the outside. So the nurse said, yeah, we'll move you. So they moved his bed over. And when he got over there, he looked out the window. And all he saw was a brick wall. There was a brick wall. There was no park. There were no kids. The man that was in the bed next to him was gravely ill. But just to help somebody else along the way. Just to help somebody else along the way. Hallelujah, somebody. You see, his outlook and his outreach blessed somebody next to him. Just like Paul had been through some things in his life. He was in prison. He was shipwrecked 3 times. But my brothers and sisters, he encouraged others. We got to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Are we encouraging, even though things look bad for us, even though we can't see, but what are we saying? Hallelujah. God is good, my brothers and sisters, but we want to run to win this race. The outset, the outlook, and the outreach. Tony, it determines the outcome. Are y'all going to pray with me this evening? This morning, God is good. I'm sorry, but I'm excited this morning. Paul said in 2 Timothy, see, this is the outcome for Paul. And I always talk about Paul because he was such a strong man of God. I'm getting excited, y'all. Preachers say, I feel my help coming. Well, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, the outcome for Paul and all the things that he had done for others, when he gets down to the end of his ministry, right here, he had already led young Timothy and told him what he needed to do to get through, to win the race. Amen. To run, to win. He had already helped Timothy, and he had taught him the things to do, the things to say, what not to do. Oh, hallelujah, y'all. But Paul is getting down to his last days. Are y'all going to help me this morning? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, it says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That means he had ran his race. And then he says, I have kept the faith. My brothers and sisters, have you kept the faith? The only way you're going to win this race in life, hallelujah, is if you keep the faith. Ain't God all right? He said that I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Then he goes on to say, henceforth, let me tell you what the end looks like. He said, henceforth. Y'all got to excuse me this morning. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, not the same kind of crown that they win in the Olympics, but a crown that God gives me, a crown of righteousness. That's the crown I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the crown that you want to give me. But he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to only me. I'm trying to help somebody. See, I'm trying to help you this morning. He said, not just to me, but unto all them that also love his appearing. You know what I like about, I talked about the track. My brothers and sisters, when you get to the end of the track, the line judges. I'm going to leave that alone, y'all. But when you run the race the way God has ordained you to run, let me tell you, the Bible says that the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but he that endureth to the end. And if we just hang on to the end, my brothers and sisters, he's at the finish line. Amen. Somebody may get there before you do. Amen. But even if you're second place, you're still a winner. Amen. But my brothers and sisters, we got to fight. We got to run that race as if we're in that race all by ourselves. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Just make sure you're going in the right direction. You got to run to win, my brothers and sisters. You got to have a good outset, a good outlook, a good outreach, and that will determine your outcome. Ain't God good? But let me tell you something before we go. I didn't mean to scream at you this morning. But those who reject Christ will lose the race. Their destiny will be sealed. Those who reject Christ will lose the race, and their destiny will be sealed. But those who accept Christ will be rewarded with the crown of life and eternity with God. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Let's run this race to win, my brothers and sisters. I'm looking forward to my mansion. Amen. In my Father's house. Can you imagine what our Father's house looks like? In my Father's house are many. In his house are many mansions. Ain't God good? I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning.